This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer. Our reading, as I said earlier, is from Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 5 to 7. Then my God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles and the officials and the people to be enrolled by genealogy. And I found the book of the genealogy of those who came up at the first. And I found written in it, these were the people of the province who came up out of the captivity of those exiles whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried into exile. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own town. They came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Raamiah, Nahamani, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispreth, Bigvai, Nahum, Banana. So ending at verse 7, but the chapter goes on with a long list of names. Amen. The act of remembrance commemorated the end of the Great War, and it is a time to remember all those who have served in the wars and continue to serve in the armed forces. We know about poppies and war memorials, the Albert Hall, the Cenotaph, Chelsea Pensioners, the Tomb of the Unknown Warrior. We learn in history lessons in school about fighting in the trenches, Battle of the Somme, rise of nationalism, dictatorships of Hitler and Stalin, Cold War, the men and women who wore uniforms and served in the armed forces across what was the British Empire, as well as the Commonwealth and from the Allied nations. And they fought for liberty and for peace and for justice. And they fought with honor and courage. For this, we need a day to remember. We need an act of remembrance to think of and be thankful for those who made sacrifices of which we continue to enjoy and benefit from. God encouraged Nehemiah to enable the people in Jerusalem to remember. They were having a history lesson in chapter 7. In chapter 7, we're told God encouraged Nehemiah to find the book of the names of those who first returned to Jerusalem after the time of exile in Babylon. It was God who was conducting this history lesson. And what God wanted them to remember are those who nearly 100 years before, bravely and with hope, returned to the land of Judah around the destroyed city of Jerusalem. This list of names preserved the memory of fathers and grandfathers and their families who served God under equally, if not more so, challenging circumstances than those Nehemiah and his fellow Jews faced. This list is the story of men and women who were prepared to leave the familiarity and relative security of Babylon, where they had comfortable lives, and follow God's call to return to their homeland, even though it was uncertain and a difficult place to live after it was ravaged by war and just neglected for years. This list is a list of courage and of loyalty and love of men and women who trusted God. This list in chapter 7 is meant to be a list to inspire. All those names are meant to be a list to get you thinking and talking about, oh, I remember them, or I know somebody who has a surname that's similar to them, or I knew somebody who knew them. It's meant to inspire Nehemiah and the men and women who lived in Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside to have the same courage, have the same loyalty, and have the same love in their time and their circumstances. In our act of remembrance, we take a moment to remember those who lived in our city, who belonged to our congregation, who were in our families, and also showed that courage and that loyalty and love under such difficult circumstances of war, conscription, rationing, curfews, evacuation and evacuees, air raids, and telegrams reporting killed in action, died of wounds, or simply missing. And we have lists of names, so we will remember. Here in Malone, we have a list of 107 men who served during the First World War, besides all the women who served on the home front or overseas who are unaccounted for. There are hundreds of lists like this, like these lists here at either side of this pulpit, across churches on this island and across the British Isles. Lists. Further afield in Belgium, there are over 70,000 names at the Thiepval Memorial. Another 50,000 are on the Menin Gate in Ypres. When we talk about numbers, they can shock us. But numbers don't inspire us, because the hugeness of these lists don't affect us as much as the individual names with individual stories. My dad's cousin, Mark Scott, just released a book called Among the Kings. So that's some shameless promotion. And the book is about the tomb of the unknown warrior. And this year is the 100th anniversary of the laying of the tomb of the unknown warrior in Westminster Abbey. And the reason my dad's cousin wrote the book is because he found a list of about a dozen names of men in my great-grandfather's diary. And this notebook survived the war, even though my great-grandfather, like many, didn't. And this handwritten list was a simple act of remembrance of the sergeant of B Company as he walked past the bodies of the dozen or so men laid on the ground before him who were killed on the 6th of May, 1916. Because these men mattered to him. He knew them, and he loved them, and he cared about them, and they mattered to him. So he made a list. And because of this list, my dad's cousin has been able to tell the stories of these men in his book and their families, and well, shed some light on the secret project to create the tomb of the unknown warrior in Westminster Abbey in 1920, which today remains unknown but represents all those men, all those soldiers who went missing and were missing by the end of the war. On the gravestones of every soldier who went missing during the war, it simply says, known unto God. Particulars matter. Names matter. People matter. All this matters to God. A Nehemiah's list is a recognition that people matter to God. Everyone is known by God. We might forget them. We might not know them. We might never be able to meet them or find them, but God does. God could have brought to Nehemiah's attention simply the number of people who returned to Jerusalem 100 years before. But isn't it interesting that God directs Nehemiah to draw attention to the names of those who returned in a long-forgotten book in the rubble of Jerusalem? Indeed, in John 10, Jesus himself, the Good Shepherd, he explains what that actually means, to call yourself the Good Shepherd. He says, not only does it mean that you would give your life for your sheep, it also means that you know your sheep. He says, I know them by name. God draws attention to a list of names. They are known, they are remembered, they are valued. And these particular names offer hope to Nehemiah and his fellow Jews. Hope that when you trust God, you live within God's plans and purposes, even though your circumstances don't seem to offer much hope. You have hope. You matter. God knows. Nehemiah and his fellow Jews were living through really difficult circumstances. Their task of rebuilding the wall, as we've heard in the previous chapter, was leaving many exhausted. And some were threatening to just put the tools down and just stop the work. Many were fearful of the future, especially if the harvest seemed uncertain because they weren't out in the fields, working in the fields as they'd usually be. They were in the city and they were building these walls. And they felt threatened by hostile neighbours around them who were making threats. Doesn't this sound familiar? Many at present in our city are exhausted, trying to work through the pandemic, deal with the government restrictions, trying to put them in place. Many are fearful of redundancy, bankruptcy, debt, or just afraid of their health. And on top of that, this week we hear of horrific terrorist attacks in our neighbouring nations of France and Austria. We need hope. Hope that when we trust God, we live within God's great plans and purposes, even though our circumstances don't seem to offer much hope. We still have hope. The Bible is a collection of stories about men and women and their relationship with God through all sorts of circumstances, the incredible and the horrific, the comforting and the deeply challenging. And the lives of men and women in these books reveal the truth that we can trust God in all of it. He cares about us in all our living and our dying. God gives us hope. If you pick up the Bible and you read it, I guarantee as you read it, it'll talk about people and their lives. Particulars matter. Names matter. People matter to God. It all matters. I think this morning some of you need to be encouraged to stop worrying when you pray that the detail of your life isn't important. Stop thinking it's not significant enough or that it's not even good enough. Because for God, every last detail matters. We have a God of particulars, names, and individual people. I mean, our God is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. And it gets even more particular than that. We're told he's born in Bethlehem. His occupation, he was trained as a carpenter. He lived in Capernaum. At the age of 33, he was crucified on a wooden cross outside a city, Jerusalem, in a place called Golgotha, the skull. And at 3 p.m. on a Friday afternoon, he cried out as he was nailed to a cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten about me? Jesus was forsaken, forgotten. He became unknown to Father God. And the reason why? So God might remember us. That we are not forsaken. We are not unknown. Jesus died on the cross so that you know that you matter to God. Do you know that this morning? Everything you're feeling matters to God. Everything that's on your mind, everything that you're having to deal with, it matters to God. It matters to God that your sin separates you from him. It matters to God that you need forgiveness to set you free in life, to live without shame and to live without guilt. It matters to God that you struggle with temptation and you need power and strength to resist it. It matters to God that you've been hurt by others who have sinned against you. It matters to God that this broken world has brought suffering into your life. Physical, emotional, or even spiritual. It matters to God that you fear death. It matters to God that you need peace. It matters to God that you want meaning and purpose in your life. You want your life to be significant. It matters to God that you want hope, that it will not always be like this. All this matters to God. And it was for this reason that Jesus died on a cross. He made the ultimate sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice. The Apostle Paul in chapter 5 of Romans explains it as this. He says, you see... Do you see at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly? Now, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Today we remember men and women who have served and have died fighting for us and our freedom. But in remembering this, we are drawn to remember the greatest death. In Jesus, we receive the greatest freedom. freedom to be with our Father God now and always. And the ultimate Christian hope is that there will be a future with no more fear, pain, crying, mourning, or death. And as John describes in Revelation, God will dwell with them and they will be his people. People matter to God. Names matter. You matter. I suppose we could say there will be no unknown warrior in God's kingdom. There will be no need for such a tomb or such a remembrance. God knows each and every one of his people. This is the great history lesson in the pages of the Bible. In Nehemiah chapter 7 and in the events of that Friday at 3 o'clock as Jesus hung on the cross. We matter to God so much. Let's pray. Father God, in the midst of everything going on, we thank you that we find this great Christian hope. And the reason we have confidence today and into whatever days lie ahead. That our living and our dying matters to you. Because you want to be with us. And you want us to be with you. To know you and to enjoy knowing you. God, let us take a moment and allow us to consider that we matter to you. God, it is a wonderful thing to think that someone died for us. And that someone is Jesus. Help us, God, to know more what that means for our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are our God, our God of hope. And as we push through what feels like it will be a long, hard winter, we need the light and warmth of your hope. You spoke through the prophet Isaiah to breathe new hope into a people who had found themselves trapped by dark circumstances for a very long time. We ask you, Lord, to stay close by us at this time. We thank you that we can meet again in church, meet friends, worship together, and seek to serve you in our community. As our country adjusts to the current situation, may we be used by you to help our neighbours in whatever way we can. A phone call, a text, an email, or an offer to do some task for them. We pray for all the NHS staff, support workers, and other workers engaged to help in a way to fight the virus. Please protect them and their families. We bring before you the third world countries. Many have little or no medical equipment, no water, no sanitizing products, or even soap. We ask that the relief agencies will have sufficient funds to meet their needs. Lord, we ask you to give wisdom to those who determine and filter media content, that they may provide an effective balance of up-to-date information without unnecessarily increasing anxiety, and that we as a society might respond in a way that is measured and wise, rather than react to unfolding events with fear, panic, or carelessness. On this Remembrance Sunday, we remember with the rest of the nation that in 1945, World War II ceased. And in 2020, we pay tribute to the men and women of the Second World War generation and to those of today's generation who have served and sacrificed to defend our nation. We especially remember the members of this, our congregation, who served in two world wars and whose names are recorded in our memorials, and to the families of our church members who pay the ultimate sacrifice to help secure our freedom in those dark days. Help us never to forget the memories and names of these special people. Our world needs your hope at a time of so much disorder, and Lord, we thank you for the miracle in the earthquake region of Greece, where three young children were rescued alive, having been buried for more than 48 hours. Heavenly Father, may we prayerfully remember those who need your hope at this time, the sick, the elderly, the homeless, the starving, those who are worried over their jobs because of pandemic, those who find life a struggle at this time. Father, we ask that these our prayers are made in and through the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.